I'm John-Paul Verkamp from Indiana University. I'll be talking about how people have used spam on Twitter for basically political and censoring means. So, some motivation for this. Originally, social networks were just that, social. They were designed basically to connect people. They've evolved somewhat since then. Now you see social media as news source. I saw this personally with the Boston Marathon bombings. That was pretty much where I heard everything was from Twitter. They were announcing things generally more accurately, as long as you were listening to the right people, than the news sources. Also, social media has become politics. Politicians have social media profiles, for better or for worse, and they promote themselves that way. So if you want to run for office, you really need to be able to do this. Social media is really just becoming part of life. So what we have is a span over 5 years of five different incidents. Throughout this talk, I'll be referring, there was a previous paper which did one of these, the middle one, the Russian one. But we found four additional incidents that at least may be involved in this. I can guarantee that the Mexican one is similar in that it's politically motivated, spam as a service, that sort of thing. And the Chinese one's probably, Syria is a little questionable. We'll see as we go along why I say that. Essentially, we have 2011 to 2012 incidents focused around these hashtags. Now, what I mean by an incident is people are trying to talk on Twitter about something. It could be about Syria. It could be about that person. I'm not going to try and pronounce a lot of these things because I'll butcher them. It could be about that. It could be about a Russian hashtag has to deal with the Russian elections. Free Tibet. And the last one is, those are the initials of a Mexican politician. So most of them are political in nature of some way or another. Basically, what happens is people are trying to talk, someone hires spam networks, and completely floods Twitter. So for some amount of time, there's just too many tweets with completely irrelevant content that no one can search for these hashtags. There's no meaningful dialogue going on. So how do I get data? I have access through the Truthy project, I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, at Indiana. It's a project on Twitter. Basically, we have access to roughly a tenth to a 15th of tweets, depending on the day. Theoretically, it should be sampled. I remember seeing a paper recently about how the sampling may not be that good, but for our means, when we're doing large-level analysis on millions of tweets, it's close enough. Mostly, our data is continuous. We have everything I need to look at. I can get any selection of the tweets for that day, with the one-tenth caveat. There are a few service interruptions, which I'll point out when we see them on the charts. So, what did I do? A few slides back, you saw one hashtag for each incident. That's basically how I found them. I look in news sources to see what people are talking about. So, I think it was around March of 2012, they were talking about #FreeTibet. So I take that hashtag, collect every tweet for around a month period around that incident with that hashtag in it. That'll give me a pretty good sample. But people sort of evolve the conversation to include similar hashtags. So what I'll do is I'll take the top end hashtags from that, collect all those, and just keep repeating until I have a nice set. Usually doesn't take too long. One thing that I did try and to head off anyone that asks, is I did try all of the tweets for people talking about these things, and it doesn't actually change the statistical analysis much, so all of my data is based on just tweets containing one of these hashtag sets, one of these hashtags in the set. So it's a smaller data source, but the results are essentially the same.
What was N?
N, for this case, I believe I used 20. It was pretty much arbitrarily chosen. Whenever I looked at it later, there's a pretty significant fall off after about 10. So we get from on the order of hundreds of thousands of tweets to thousands of tweets. You probably either can't or don't want to read this, but here are lists of all of the hashtags involved in each of them. These are also in the paper if you want to see the full lists. Some of the translations may be not particularly good, but they're the best I can figure out. People on Twitter have this tendency to smash words together, which makes translating them more interesting. And here are the next set. So, to get an idea of how we're talking about here, these are how large the incidents were. So for example, Siri is the largest one with 1.5 million tweets over a period of a couple weeks. So overall how big Twitter is, not that large, but as far as a conversation goes, they can get pretty large. The more interesting thing is how the numbers of spammed overall tweets compare. For example, Syria, there's something like 5% is all that spam was. So if someone was trying to drown out conversation, not very effective. You'll see in the charts later, that's why Syria is not a particularly good study. What's interesting in Russia is you have approximately 25,000 spam accounts. So someone went through a lot of trouble to register a lot of accounts to do this spamming thing. What's interesting in the two newer ones in China in 2012 in Mexico, they have a lot fewer accounts than Russia, but proportionally similar numbers of tweets, if not higher. So what we see there is that these incidents are moving to fewer accounts with higher volume tweets, which theoretically should be easy to block, but it's a matter of hours. So you have to see how quickly Twitter or anyone else can respond to this. So, daily tweet volume. The charts are a little small, especially the dates. The charts are a little bigger in the paper. Basically, what we have here is the number of non-spam and spam tweets, just total over an hour granularity. So what's interesting about this is we'll start with Russia in the top right. Basically, hopefully you can see two or three really large red spikes. So you see a distinct spiking behavior where basically they turn on the botnet or run their scripts or whatever they do over a couple hour period, which there's a small blue blob ahead of it, which means that they were talking about it before that, then the spam starts, which makes sense. It takes about that long for someone to respond to it. You see some spiking, but it's a lot messier in China, 2012 on the bottom left. Bottom right in Mexico, you see the spiking behavior again, although there's a lot more spikes. You also do see a really interesting spike in non-spam traffic, which may correspond with the actual election. I'm not actually sure why there's a non-spam spike there. So, timing of tweets. This one's interesting. I believe it was last year here at Foci / whichever pronunciation you want, where they talked about timing attacks on Twitter, where you see a certain number of minutes after the hour or a certain hour of the day, evidence of they're probably running these with cron jobs or something equivalent. So what we're seeing is definite evidence of that, and at least Russia and Mexico. These are, if you take the entire span, the timing of all the tweets, and just knock off everything but the minutes, these are aggregated over minutes of the hour. So we see spikes in Russia at roughly 5 and 15 minutes after the hour. So this is regular across the entire attack. There's a uptick in activity there. What the baseline could be is it could be spam that I'm capturing that's not actually part of the attack. It could be slower machines, but what we're seeing is definite spikes in activity on a regular minute schedule. So what I'm hoping is, I guess I probably should have mentioned this a little while ago. What I'm hoping for is for some evidence of how we can stop this from happening in the future. So far, looking at spiking behavior, looking at spikes in general traffic, although unfortunately that's exactly what a trending hashtag looks like, is regular traffic spiking like that. But this is a little less likely in legitimate Twitter traffic because people aren't quite that regular. So, meta content. Twitter has lots of content that it just basically extracts in their stream from the tweets. So we have things like URLs, mentions, where you put the little at there, you're talking to or about someone, retweets, where you're basically saying what someone else said. And we can pull all of these out. There's a lot of numbers here. The bold ones are theoretically more interesting. What we see is these numbers actually vary pretty significantly between non-spam and spam, but not consistently. So what I was hoping is we'd see a perfect picture of spam URLs. Spam tweets always have more URLs. Well, they have more URLs in China, and that's about it. They have significantly less URLs in Syria, Russia, and Mexico, which actually looking at the tweets, it makes sense. Because what the spammers are doing is generating content. In the case of Russia, or in the case of Mexico, they seem to basically be pulling in news feeds and tweeting them. What's interesting is they're not pulling in news feeds about the event because, well, that wouldn't help them hide the event. They're just pulling in basic what looks like random news feeds. So they're tweeting about the Russian elections with sports news. And hopefully that does what they're, well, not hopefully for us, that does what they're trying to do. Same thing with mentions. Russia, you see non-spammers use a lot more mentions. So legitimate users are talking to each other, basically, talking to and about each other. Spammers are going for volume. That's even more pronounced in Mexico. However, in China, in 2012, they flipped it. Spammers were creating networks. They were talking with each other or with other people. We'll see on the next slide, I think. Retweets, same sort of thing. So, most common content, another very small slide. Basically, what I did is broke the tweets into words, figured out what the most common words are across all 1.5 million or whatever tweets. The color coding is perhaps more interesting. Hashtags are expected, because that's how I got my data. Everything with a hashtag was in the data, so hopefully hashtags are high. What's interesting is, say, take the China 2011. There's two blue URLs there. Those URLs were specific URLs, not just general URLs. So those two URLs were common enough to be, I think that's 6 and 8th most common words in the entire text of everything. Now, one downside to this is if they're in the Chinese language, there's no spaces. So word chunking tends to break apart, which might inflate this somewhat. But just to see these two URLs used over and over and over again in that many tweets is somewhat surprising. What's interesting is there are product URLs. Basically, it's someone selling something. So one idea is that this is possibly not politically motivated. It's they found spammers automatically found a target and tried to sell something to it because it was popular. Or could be someone used their network to tweet and this just happened to be what they could pay. Maybe the people selling spam or selling to two bidders. Could be. Other interesting cases, Russia. Russia definitely, in Mexico to a lesser extent, there are a lot less stop words, small words, a and the, propositions, prepositions, things like that, in spam tweets. Basically, people talk like people. They use words to help understanding. Spammers talk like robots, basically. They have more complicated but not necessarily meaningful text. So that's one way that we could possibly tease apart spammers versus non-spammers is spammers tend towards less stop words and they tend towards more just loaded with hashtags. Problem is, this is also behavior that some people get into in Twitter. It's sort of a general theme that nothing is definitive, there's just a lot of interesting things. China 2012, we see a lot of very common mentions that should align with the previous slide that they were just really common in that incident. So, tweet recipients, here's where we're building, basically building a social network in the social network. So you're connecting people. One piece of data I would have loved to have is lists of friends and followers, which you can get for active accounts. Unfortunately, all of the accounts that I'm dealing with in spam have been shut down. I should probably mention that. How I determined actually which accounts were spam accounts is the ones that Twitter flagged as spam. So they are the ones that had been shut down. I didn't do anything complicated in trying to identify it myself. It's somewhat intractable with multiple hundreds of thousands of users. If someone had a better way to do that, this would not be a particularly helpful talk. Anyways, back to this. Tweet recipients. Basically, this is who people are talking to. This is who the spammers are talking to. So in the first column, it's spammers talking to non-spammers. Theoretically, this is generated content trying to basically shout at people, hopefully they either stop talking or respond to them and continue on the cycle of drowning the content. We don't see this particularly often, so that's somewhat to be expected. They'd have to identify who else is talking about it and start talking to them for not necessarily any gain. The flip side, second column, spammers talking to other spammers. Basically, this seems to be, spammers know who each other are because ostensibly they're all running with some sort of central control. So they talk to each other, trying to look sort of like legitimate accounts. We saw a few slides ago that this isn't particularly common. They're not using mentions that often. When they do, some 3/4 of them are two other spammers, so they're all linked together. What's interesting is cases where spammers are talking to people not even talking about this incident at all. So people that have never tweeted one of these hashtags, people that have never talked to someone tweeting one of these hashtags, spammers are tweeting at them. So this is most common in the China 11 case, making me think, product placement. So maybe it's not politically motivated, but it sure looks like it. Which again makes the problem makes this problem harder. So do you track down and try and eliminate all spam on Twitter? That's actually not easier, but less complicated in this instance, because you can't necessarily tell them apart. Okay, registration. This is an interesting aside that could actually be one of the most useful features. This is one that was identified in the previous paper, Rush in the top right. You see like these crazy sharp spikes of account registration. Basically, all of the spam accounts in at least Russia and Mexico, to a lesser extent in China 11, are registered at the same time. They're registered in large blocks of 700, 1,000 accounts an hour. And then they just sort of sit there for a couple weeks, a month, waiting to be sold. One result from the previous paper was that they didn't even use the entire block of Russian accounts. They used maybe 10% of them. Another 90% are just sitting there waiting to do this again. But what we see is, this is also, in the other strongest case, this also happens in Mexico. You see lots of registration in blocks. So even more so than the normal traffic. So this is possibly something Twitter can look into, is if you're seeing a bunch of registrations from one country, this is suspicious. Start looking into them. What we see with the colors in the top right is distinct traits of them. So in this case, it's what I found is identification by username, how they generated their usernames. They're distinct enough that you can apply regular expressions to generate usernames for them for 90% or so of the accounts in each block. So this mirrors the previous work. I don't believe they used usernames. They used registration email accounts, I think, or maybe timing. I don't remember entirely. But found the same results with usernames, that each block is the same. Blocks are registered with the same algorithm. So here's some of the examples of usernames. Another way Twitter could help to find these people, these bots, I guess. They're regenerated. Ignore Syria. But in the case of China, you see letters, numbers. In the case of Russia, you see either first name, last name, or initial first name. It varies by registration block. Here's one block where they're all SS something. So different Russian, at least to me, sounding names. I can't guarantee they are, but what's interesting about China 12 and Mexico is a very strong percentage of them were all at the maximum length. You can have a 15 character username in Twitter. They were all 15 characters. So what does this mean to me? That perhaps the spammers are not particularly good at figuring out that not too many people actually do that in real practice, but most of their usernames are, and they actually padded them with letters or numbers to do that specifically. I guess they're possibly trying to avoid collisions in their name generation, but it's another feature to look out for. Default profile and image. The short answer from this slide is spammers used to be pretty bad about just leaving the default profile and image, figuring fire and forget, they'll get shut down in a few hours, but that's all they need. Unfortunately, in the Mexican case, there's only like 1% of spam accounts that still have a default profile. So in the newest case, they figured it out, they're generating profiles. They still don't look very good, they still look generated, but there's not that terribly much information in a Twitter profile, so it's hard to identify generated versus not generated for a computer. So, summary, found a lot of things. Found distinct spiking patterns in both account activity and registration. Registration could be helpful. You're seeing signs of scheduled activity. The cron jobs, also, this is not something I had charts for, but there's definite diurnal patterns. So people tweet when they're awake, the bots are turned on when they're awake. So the bot makers are at least that smart to turn them on when people are actually paying attention. Non-spam tweets tend to use more stop words, more short words. Chinese is hard to pull apart because they tend to clump everything together more. URLs, mentions, and retweets could be very useful, but they're inconsistent. So I'm not sure what to do with that. Basically, one possibility is to monitor a sampling of tweets and watch for changes. Spam accounts are registered in blocks with generated usernames. This is probably one of the best indications, but I don't know if it will be fast enough to collect enough accounts to actually block this. Default accounts are a good indicator of spammers, but not so much in the newest incident. It remains to be seen if this will be a trend in future incidents. So, obligatory question slide.
So in some of those cases, Syria seemed to have a pretty impressively good match to the non-spam accounts.
Yeah.
Syria is not typically a very technically sharp country.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any indication that these are mass hijackings rather than...
It could be. By about a week before I was turning in this paper, I was strongly considering taking Syria out because none of the indications are as strong as any of the other countries. Every time I make a chart, I'm like, oh, and Syria. So I have all the data. I put it in there just because there is a lot of spam in that incident, but I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Yes, they definitely could be hijacked accounts. That could also account for the 10% of non-generated looking names in the other incidents is hijacked accounts. Those also could be other spam activity tracking onto something important, something trending on Twitter. So, yes. Yes?
Did you look into how many different spam networks were involved in these? Because it seems like there's some similarities between, say,
He asked if I looked into how many different spam networks are involved in these. No, is the short answer. We know that, at least from previous work on the Russian incident, the entire point was that they're buying the spam as a service. And basically what I looked at is finding similar events. So things that have the same pattern. So that's exactly what I was looking for. So far as if they bought the same or used the same spam networks or same tools to do it, it looks like it, but I don't really have any indication for that. Part of the problem is I don't have as in-depth information to Twitter as I would like. I don't have registration emails or IP addresses, which were used in the previous paper. I think that's probably a theme in censorship in general, is we don't have the data we'd like. So short answer is no. Long answer is what I just said. Yeah?
Any sense of whether the spammers were active, whatever their objective was?
I wasn't. He asked if, was there any sense if the spammers were effective? Effective in, did they stop the conversations? I could probably go back in my slides. It's hard to tell. There is a slight dip in activity, at least in Russia, right whenever the spammers attack, whenever the spammers spam, I guess. There's a slight dip in legitimate activity. So people are basically stopped talking. What's interesting is the opposite is the case in Mexico. Whenever the spammers start talking, the legitimate users start talking louder. Now, they could be trying to overcome that. I don't know if they were successful because I wasn't watching these things unfold in real time. That's what I would love to see. As far as general numbers, there were slightly less, slightly more tweets of legitimate accounts. As far as if they could be seen, I don't know, because they were less than 5 to 10% of overall tweets.
There was a result in the Kremlin paper last year that the Twitter's search on hashtags was pretty effective at filtering out the junk.
That's good.
The rank search, but not beautifully effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned that in the China incident there were two products that were being sold.
Mm-hmm.
What were the two products?
If you email me or ask later, I will be able to tell you. I honestly don't know. It's in my notes somewhere.
And the question was?
Oh, sorry. The two product URLs, what were they? I don't know. Ask me offline and I can dig it up. It's in my notes somewhere. Anything else? Yeah.
Just FYI, so regarding the accounts that mm-hmm. were used and registered in bulk and stuff, there's a paper Wednesday that we have in the afternoon analyzing that marketplace in much more depth. And it's probably the case that if you give some specimens of these usernames that Kurt, the student on this, could match it to the merchants.
Very interesting. Yeah, I will look into that. Thank you.